Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, September 10th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Catherine Loveman. Catherine and her family joined Mountain Brook Baptist in 2015, and Catherine works on staff with us in a part-time position with our children's ministry. Thank you, Catherine, for joining the podcast today and for reading God's Word to us.
Today we're reading from 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. And now we are reading Psalm 109. O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me. But I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Appoint an evil man to oppose him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty. And may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he never thought of doing a kindness, but hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as his garment and entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be like a cloak wrapped around him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's payment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me. But you, O sovereign Lord, deal well with me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me in accordance with your love. Let them know that it is your hand that you, O Lord, have done it. They may curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. My accusers will be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng, I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save his life from those who condemn him. And now a reading from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.
Thank you, Catherine, for joining the podcast today. I'm so grateful that you took the time to come and read for us twice, because the first time around, all of our information got deleted, but that's what happens sometimes with technology, and especially with someone who's not very tech savvy like me. Anyway, thank you so much for investing the time in the podcast. I wanted to ask you how you came to faith in Jesus.
Well, thank you so much for having me again. It was a pleasure because I love being able to do a dress rehearsal. So this is the real production. But I came to faith at a really early age. My mom was putting me to bed one night, and we were saying our prayers, and I must have been asking her enough questions to where she led me to Christ, and I repeated the prayer of acceptance after her. But then apparently at a summer camp, however many years later, I figured that didn't work because I repeated after my mother. And so I've asked the Lord to be my Savior again. I think I've done it several other times since then. And I guess you could just sort of say recommitting yourself. But I felt like He didn't hear me the first time because I was repeating what my mom said. So that's how I initially came to faith.
And what brought you and your family here to Mount Brook Baptist?
Well, we were actually looking for a really strong children's ministry program, and my children here participated in some vacation Bible schools, not many, but a few here at Mount Brook Baptist, and we decided to visit in the summer, because some of you may know that the summer is an ideal time to church shop, so we decided to come to Mount Brook Baptist, and as we were coming into the building, we were going to sneak in and sneak out, and there's Sharon Howard coming out of the office, and she knew exactly what grades my children were and knew exactly where to take them and agreed to meet us after the church service and take us to our Sunday school classes. And I was very, very impressed with that. And as we were visiting, I was coming down a stairwell, and a senior adult overheard me saying I was visiting, and she stopped mid-tracks, turned around, and told me to please come back and visit, that it was a wonderful church. I was just very impressed with the intergenerational welcoming of everybody, of all generations, and it was just really one of the most welcoming places that we had ever been to.
So after you guys visited and met Sharon, then you decided to join with us in the summer of 2015. And I've heard you talking a little bit about your baptism story, and I would love for you to share that with those who are listening.
Well, my husband and I joined with our kids, and he and I had sort of discussed that we might want to get baptized. That's something that you can do that Jesus did. And we thought, okay, we'll just go get baptized. We had a private baptism ceremony, and we were baptized at the same time, and we invited family and friends to come. And it was the most unbelievable experience I have ever had in my adult life. It was just the symbolism of being buried and going under the water and then coming up out of the water alive with Christ was a very spiritual experience for me. I just felt this warmth and this glow, and I knew it was definitely the Holy Spirit coming upon me and happy that I was doing this outward sign, even though I was a Christian and had been a Christian and had been a Jesus follower for a long time. Just the symbolism of doing that was honestly one of the coolest things I've done since we joined the church.
Tell me a little bit about what you do to help our children's ministry.
I work with Sharon, and I'm part-time, sort of Mother's Day out hours, and I do whatever she tells me to do. It's pretty much, what do I do today? If, you know, if she doesn't have something specific, I can always find something to do, but I help her with VBS. I help her with Sunday school curriculum, bulletin boards, cleaning out closets, birthday cards, just anything that she needs help with is what I do.
Catherine, are you a native to Birmingham?
Actually, I am a native to Birmingham. I was born and raised in Mountain Brook, and I went to kindergarten at Highlands Day School. That was back when the elementary schools didn't have a kindergarten. And then my parents, we started at Mountain Brook Elementary when I was in first grade and graduated from the high school, and then I went off to college in Memphis, Tennessee. I went to Rhodes College and then came back and started working at the bank after graduation.
Tell me how you met your husband and tell me about your kids.
Okay, I have a husband, Andrew Loveman, and we met when we were both working at AmSouth Bank, and we have a son, Wade, who is 19, and he is a freshman at Auburn. Roll Tide. Then we have a daughter who is 14, and she is a ninth grader at the junior high. And then we have a four-legged puppy who's 8, and her name is Gabby.
Is there a favorite verse of scripture that you might have, and would you tell us why?
I do have a favorite verse. It's Romans 15:13, and it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And this actually became my favorite verse about, I would say, about 15 years ago. My youngest daughter is 14, and we were having some difficulty with infertility, and I decided to become pretty involved in some Bible studies here at Mount Brook Baptist. Oddly enough, we weren't members, but my son went to Mother's Day out here, and I passed those women in the library, a lot of senior adults and me, and we did some Beth Moore studies, and God was continually telling me that he's the God of hope over and over again in every Bible study that I did for the 3 years that we were sort of struggling with this issue. And it was just a constant theme, no matter what the Bible study was on, the patriarchs. He pointed me to the theme of he's the God of hope. If it was fruits of the Spirit, he pointed me again to he was the God of hope. So it's just, if you're going through something, it really made me realize that you've got to stay in the Word, because whatever God wants you to learn, he will show you no matter what you're doing in the Word of God.
Thank you, Catherine, for sharing that with us. And thank you again for being here. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Dear God, just thank you so much for this church. And just thank you that they are able to do such wonderful things like Project 119. And thank you for our staff and for everything that they're doing to maintain some sense of normalcy. And pray that you will continue to bless Mount Brook Baptist Church. And thank you for allowing me to come and help with reading. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.